It's the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owens Beef Cooking.
Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 5th of July, the 186th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 179 days left until the end of the year. A hearty welcome to Satoshi Okeasu from Tokyo, Japan, to the RFI Listeners Club. Mr. Okeasu wrote in his note requesting membership that he listens, but had been hesitant to enter the quizzes as he wasn't a member. Just to clear that up, the quizzes are open to one and all, member or no. So don't hesitate to send in your quiz entry with your non-AI-generated response to the bonus question, too. But, of course, we're really happy when you do become a member, and it's easy. Just write to me and ask, and I'll send you a membership number. You include that every time you send in your quiz entries, and you receive a bonus gift if you win. Write and request your membership to the RFI Listeners Club today. The address is english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. The music you're listening to in the background is by the Argentine-American composer Lalo Schifrin, who recently died. Schifrin is best known for the theme music to the two American television series Mission Impossible. The Mission Impossible films came after the TV series, and what's playing right now, Mannix. So I'll be quiet so you can listen to it. Isn't that a great piece of music? It was the theme music for the American detective television series Mannix, which ran from 1967 through 1975. Lalo Schifrin was prolific. He wrote the scores for dozens of films and even the Paramount Pictures fanfare. He won 5 Grammy Awards, was nominated for 6 Academy Awards, and 4 Emmy Awards, He died last week at age 93.
I'm Nasser Balahi, bonjour from Iraq.
Paul Myers is off watching the matches at Wimbledon. Be sure to check out our website. He'll keep you up to date. But Erwan Rome, our trusty sound engineer, is behind the glass window in front of me at his mixing board. So all is right with the world. Well, Sound Kitchen world, anyway. Still to come, the quiz, your answers to the bonus question on the Listener's Corner, Olia Horton's happy moment, and a tasty musical dessert from Erwan on Music from Erwan. So don't touch that dial.
Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, because it's time for the quiz. On the 7th of June, I asked you a question about RFI English journalist Amanda Morrow's article, The Big Blue Blind Spot, Why the Ocean Floor is Still an Unmapped Mystery. It was a curtain raiser for the UN Ocean Conference in Nice that opened on the 9th of June. You were to reread Amanda's article and send in the answers to these three questions. How many people do the world's oceans feed per year? How much economic activity is generated by the oceans every year? And what is the percentage of the ocean's waters that are formally protected? The answers are, to quote Amanda's article, the ocean feeds 3.2 billion people and generates an estimated 2.6 trillion USD in economic value each year. Yet, just 8% is formally protected, and only a fraction of that is off limits to damaging activities. In addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question. What is the most hilarious thing or situation you've come across in your life? Or what or whom made you laugh the most? The question was suggested by Jocelyn Derrico from New Zealand. You'll hear the answers to the bonus question later in the show, so you stay right here in this kitchen. The winners of this week's quiz are... RFI Listeners Club member Jayanta Chakrabarty from New Delhi, India, who's also the winner of this week's bonus question. This is what he wrote. We were invited to a friend's daughter's marriage party. The venue was in a far corner of the city where several banquet halls lined the streets. We entered the decorated reception hall where the married couple were seated on a high platform with bands playing the favorite tunes. Food was served in abundance with fruit carts, a snack corner, and the main banquet items. After wishing the newlyweds well with gifts and flowers, we had a sumptuous meal. However, my friend was nowhere in sight, which seemed so odd. We assumed that he must be attending to guests. When my friend met me on the following day, he regretted that I was not present at the reception. How could I tell him that we'd attended the wrong reception? This was perhaps the most hilarious situation in my life, and hilarious it is. I hope your face didn't give you away when you talked to your friend. At any rate, Jayanta, congratulations on your double win. Also on the list of lucky winners this week are Abdur Rakib, the co-president of the Shetu RFI Listeners Club in Naugaon, Bangladesh, and Nurayaz Bin Zaman, who's a member of the RFI Amur Fan Club in Rajshahi, also Bangladesh. Last but certainly not least, RFI Listeners Club member Mumtaz Hussain from Odisha, India, and RFI English listener Nosaba Nuha from Munshiganj, Bangladesh. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. Our colleague, Amanda Morrow, is our leading environmental reporter, and this week I learned something very interesting from her article, Ocean Campaigners Hail French Move to Snuff Out Cigarette Butt Pollution. Did you know that cigarette ends or butts are filled with microplastics? In addition to being ugly, when they break apart, they leach, as Amanda informs, chemicals into soil and water. I had no idea, and I imagine most smokers do not either. An awareness campaign is underway here in France. But it's not just an awareness campaign. It's also an outright ban on smoking on beaches, in public parks, and at bus stops, as well as near schools, libraries, swimming pools, and sports grounds. There's a minimum fine of 135 euros, which can go up to as high as 750 euros, which is a lot of money. Amanda talked to Chris Dorset, the vice president of conservation at Ocean Conservancy, who told her that, and I quote, "The two big problems with cigarette butts are that they're made up of microplastics that break down into smaller pieces and pose a problem for marine wildlife, which can interfere with the digestive systems of fish species. And if the fish has eaten them, we then eat those microplastics, too." So you see why the ocean campaigners are pleased with the French ban. I want you to reread Amanda's article, "Ocean Campaigners Hail French Move to Snuff Out Cigarette Butt Pollution," and send in the answer to this question: how many liters of water can a single cigarette butt contaminate? Again, reread Amanda's article, "Ocean Campaigners Hail French Move to Snuff Out Cigarette Butt Pollution," and send in the answer to this question. According to the French Ministry of Ecological Transition, how many liters of water can a single cigarette butt contaminate? You'll find Amanda's article on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, as well as on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. This week's bonus question was suggested by RFI longtime club member, with whom I share a cherished and lively correspondence, Nasir Muhammad from Katsina State in Nigeria. Nasir's question is, what is your favorite prize you've received from RFI and why? Now, this is an easy question for me. You. The connection with all of you. What a gift. How fortunate I am. But you don't have to be so high-minded. After all, you get actual physical gifts. So send in the answer to this question. What is your favorite prize you've received from RFI and why? The question was suggested by Nasir Muhammad from Katsina State, Nigeria. Answer in your own words. Do not use AI. Your answer will be disqualified. Remember, we're always happy to hear your ideas for bonus questions, so please send them in. And thanks for the idea, Nasir. You have until the 28th of July to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question in. Be sure to tune in on the 2nd of August to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. Always include your postal mailing address, and if you have one, your RFI club membership number.
Hello, I'm Brass Franzman Kongogo, RFI club member from Kemogemba, Tarime Mara, Tanzania. My greetings to all of my fellow listeners in East Africa, India, and all over the world. My message is make big babo, but not rabo.
And now, more from and about you. It's time for the Listener's Corner. The question you answered this week was, what is the most hilarious thing or situation you've come across in your life? Or what or whom made you laugh the most? The question was suggested by Jocelyne Derrico from New Zealand. We'll start with Radhakrishna Pillai, who wrote, one of the most memorable moments of my life, both amusing and thought-provoking, occurred during a journey that took me through the mist-covered hills and forests of Kerala State. Starting at 5 a.m., the bus went from Kumali to Pathanamthitta, a route renowned for its rare opportunity to witness wildlife in its natural habitat. The bus was filled with passengers, each eagerly awaiting glimpses of the region's diverse fauna. Throughout the journey, the driver would periodically announce which animals were likely to be seen in the area. As we approached the village of Gavi, a few more passengers boarded the bus, and the atmosphere was filled with anticipation and excitement. Among the new passengers was an elderly man who, with great confidence, began to boast about his fearlessness in the face of wildlife. He insisted that he was unafraid of any animal, regardless of its size or species. As the journey continued, we observed a variety of wildlife, including birds, bison, elephants, and deer. However, the most dramatic moment occurred when, just before a bend near Muzhiyar, the bus came to a sudden halt. A baby elephant was standing in the middle of the road, flanked by two adult elephants. One of the adults made a sudden aggressive move toward the bus, creating an understandably tense situation. However, the driver, who was experienced in navigating such encounters along this route, quickly revved the engine and honked the horn, successfully coaxing the elephants off the road. During this tense moment, a loud voice from the back of the bus suddenly shouted, "Reverse the bus!" To my surprise, it was the same elderly man who had earlier claimed he had no fear of wild animals. The collective response was a burst of laughter, as the contrast between his earlier bravado and his current fear was undeniable. Well, Radha Krishna, he didn't get out and offer to scare the elephants away himself? Actually, the man is right, but not for the right reasons. I was charged by a bull elephant in Uganda. We were in a jeep with the top down, standing up where we could look out over the roof, when the big guy appeared to cross the path in front of us. He stamped and came towards us. The park ranger said very quietly, "Get in the car," and very gently backed the jeep up. The elephant stopped his charge. He stamped his foot again to show his displeasure. He was the father of the twin elephants we were spying on, and he didn't like it. Obviously, your driver seems to know what he was doing, but in general, you don't try to threaten an elephant. They are just a bit bigger than we are, and after all, we are visitors in their space. And when you have a baby around, wouldn't you do just about anything to protect it? At any rate, all's well that ends well, and I'm glad you got to see elephants in the wild, Radha Krishna, and have a good laugh. John Yemi Sande Ture wrote about a man he knows named Benz, who, as he said, is so ugly that at the time of the Sierra Leone War, when the Nigerian military came to fight the rebels, a Nigerian officer told Benz to take off his mask. Benz told him he wasn't wearing a mask. He said, "I'm just ugly, sir." Oh, how we laughed. And what makes our favorite padre, Father Stephen Wara, belly laugh? As he wrote, the performances of great comedians such as Jean-Michel Cancan from Cameroon and the young Emmanuela Samuel from Nigeria. Dipita Chakrabarty has a humorous revenge story. This is what she wrote. "I went to a co-education college attended by both boys and girls. I had many friends in our group. But one particular student in our class was a real rogue. He used to bully the meek and defenseless students, but the teachers mostly let him off as he was good at studies. So our group thought about a mischievous plan to teach him a lesson. While our English class was in progress, the girl seated just behind the bully cautiously pasted a paper soaked in thick paste on his back, which read in bold letters, 'Will you marry me?' We all waited patiently for the outcome. The prank was a great success. Wherever the rogue went, either in the playground or the school canteen, he was faced with ridicule and laughter from both students and teachers. But no one dared to spill the beans, as he was a well-known bully. He went home just like that. On the next day, there was a pleasant surprise. Knowing that he was outsmarted, he could not do anything but begin to behave in a friendly way. Sometimes a little vengeance pays. We'll end with Jocelyn Derrico, who suggested today's question because, as she wrote, it's good to have some good laughs, as laughing is supposed to be great for one's health. Here's what made her laugh recently, a story her friend, RFI club member Christian Gibado, told her. This is what she wrote. Christian was in China, in Beijing, I think. He was walking around outdoor food stalls and was offered a seahorse, those delicate creatures, the small marine bony fish. Bravely, Mr. Gibado tried it, but it wasn't to his liking. Since he couldn't throw it away in front of the stall holder, he walked away and discreetly put it in a trash bin. I found this story quite funny and couldn't stop laughing all evening, as this is not at all what I would do. Jocelyn noted she wouldn't even have tried it. You know, I had something of the same experience not too long ago. I was in Norway for RFI covering the semifinals of the French cooking competition, the Bocuse d'Or. The indigenous people of Norway are called the Sami, and as expected in that northern clime, eat a lot of reindeer and use their hides for clothes, for drums, etc., etc. They had a food stall with various types of reindeer meat to try. A colleague told me I just had to try one of them. It was delicious. And so I did. It was disgusting. I, with my mouth full, thanked the gentleman and then went as fast as my legs could carry me out of his sight to spit it out in the first bin I could find. I was followed by my colleague, who was almost on the floor laughing. She had found it disgusting too and kindly wished to share the experience with me. And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question, suggested by Nasir Muhammad from Katsina State in Nigeria, is, what is your favorite prize you've received from RFI and why? Thanks again, Nasir, for the idea. Do you have a bonus question idea? If so, send it to us at the Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr. And your weekly reminder, do not use AI. The Listener's Corner is about you and what you think, and it's very easy to spot AI-generated answers, which are immediately disqualified. That's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating.
I am Erwan Rom, and I'm happy to be with you every week.
It's time to get happy with Olya Horton.
Just take a pinch of inspiration, a bunch of good vibes, a drop of creativity, and sprinkle it with sunshine. And there you have the perfect recipe for a happy moment. Hello, Sound Kitchen listeners. Olya Horton from the RFI English team. I hope you are well. This month's happy moment is about paddling down a river. As you know, France, like much of Europe, has been suffocating through a heat wave this past week. Well, I found a way to keep cool, get back in touch with nature, and get some exercise. Recently, I had an opportunity to go for a canoe ride down part of a river called Lept, which is just north of Paris, near the border with Normandy. In total, in a group of three canoes, we paddled for around 16 kilometres in two stages with a lovely picnic in the middle. We passed by farmland, forests, houses, and even a castle. The scenery was delightful and it was so peaceful. At times, there were small rapids to go through so you could hear the gentle cascade of the water. Other times, you could hear cows across the way and the breeze rustling in the trees. We saw numerous types of dragonflies and butterflies, and being spring, we were lucky to see waterfowl chicks that had just hatched and calves grazing with their mothers. It was like being in a time warp, and we were able to leave the cares of the city life behind. The only thing that we needed to keep an eye on was steering the canoe to avoid hitting logs that had fallen into the water, and sometimes sharp bramble patches. We kept cool because of our proximity to the water, and also because while we were paddling, well, our legs and feet got pretty wet. And the river was mostly shady, so we really didn't feel like we were stuck in a heat wave. What made me happy about this adventure was getting out and about, seeing some new scenery, and I was in great company. So what about you? Do you have a happy moment to share with fellow Sound Kitchen listeners? Don't be shy. You can send them to the Sound Kitchen or get in touch through Facebook. You can leave a message on the Sound Kitchen answering machine or go ahead and record your happy moment and send it to us in an email. All the addresses and phone numbers you need can be found on the Sound Kitchen page of our website, rfienglish.com. When you record, just hide under a blanket. It makes for better sound quality. That's all for me this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Ollie Horton. Enjoy your weekend. Bye for now.
I agree, Olga. Nothing like nature to lift your spirits, especially when it involves staying cool on the dog days of summer. Listeners, you can hear Olia's happy moment on the first Saturday of every month. Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining me in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, and emails coming. Many, many thanks to Erwan Rome for his input and his mixing mastery, and thanks to you for listening. Be sure and tune in next week, the 12th of July, for the answer to the question about the 2025 One Ocean Summit. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll play you out with music from Erwan, our sound engineer, who's also a musician. This week, Erwan chose music performed by the Joe Henderson Trio, which features Joe Henderson on tenor sax, Rufus Reed on bass, and most importantly for today, drummer Al Foster, who is now up drumming with the Angels. He died in May. Al Foster drummed with the Angels here below, too. Foster was the preferred drummer for many jazz giants, including Count Basie, Sonny Rollins, Chick Corea, Miles Davis. The list is long. Born in 1943 into a musical family, Foster showed interest in the drums as a toddler, banging on pots and pans. He started playing drums at age 13 and made his recording debut at age 20 on trumpeter Blue Mitchell's 1964 album, The Thing to Do, alongside a young Chick Corea on piano. And the phone never stopped ringing after that. In an interview for Downbeat magazine a few years ago, Al Foster said, "I'm getting old. You know, I'm not as fast as I used to be. But it's more fresh ideas. I'm always coming up with new stuff when I practice. Because lately I practice every day. Drums, two sets in my living room. I just sit there for a few minutes, you know, almost like, what you gonna show me today?" Foster remained a vital presence on drums to the end, leading his own band in engagement at the New York Jazz Club Smoke earlier this year. He died on May 28th. To give you a taste of Al Foster's art, Erwan chose Take the A Train, written by Billy Strayhorn and Duke Ellington. You'll hear the Joe Henderson Trio, Joe Henderson on tenor saxophone, Rufus Reed on bass, and Al Foster on the drums. Rest in peace, Maestro Foster. Thanks again, Erwan, for another musical adventure. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind, and stay in touch. And remember, do not confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends, and be a blessing. Be a rainbow in someone's cloud. Talk to you all next week. The top of 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 the top of
Thank you. Thank you.